Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you so much for your patience. We're going to get started. Welcome to the first meeting this year for Larry's open meeting. We will start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
So good afternoon, everyone. If you please rise, let's face the flag, hand in the chest, the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, before we go on to the minutes approval, I would like to let you know that we have public comment cards that Deanna is distributing. So if you're interested in doing public comment, please feel free to avail yourself of one of the cards. So first item on the agenda is the minutes approval. So I believe we have copies at the table. This is for our last meeting, which was held in May 13, and that is a correction that we need to make on the agenda. The agenda that we published says May 8. If you could please change that over to May 13, which is when the meeting was actually held. So with that correction,
actually just two corrections. So on page one, item 5A, just a friendly change here, changing 1,500 man hours, 1,500 personnel hours. And then last page makes reference to item 11, next open meetings. It gives September 8th and November 3rd. I just wanted to make sure if those were in fact the dates or if that was a mistake.
Okay. You know, I think we first need, I'm going to motion to accept the minutes from the May 13th meeting, May 13th, 2017.
Second.
I'm assuming as amended?
As amended.
Yes.
Okay. So all in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And so on. Thank you. All right. So moving on to the next item would be consortium updates. The first element of consortium updates is going to be number of budgets. This is all sweet stuff, so please bear with me. All right. And so we have a number of budgets to go through. We're going to be going over the final expenditure of public support, carryover reports, direct activities budget, letter of donations, letter of office funding, and then data and accountability. Okay, so we're going to start with the first one, which is the final expenditure and program support. Now, did everybody read that? No, actually, we are putting that information in there just for your reference. There are many elements of each one of these budgets, so here we are only summarizing the information. These budgets are going to be posted on the website where we can get some additional information. Right now, we're just going to look at the summary and then highlight the major elements for it. So in this case, the expenditure, the allocation, bring it down a little bit, not the other bit. There we go. So to the summary section, please. Right there. Summary, so the allocation or the allocation for the consortia or the revenue for the year 2016-17 was $121,872,945. Of that, $96,882,265 were spent, and as a consortium, we have a carryover of nearly $25 million. Moving on to the next budget. This represents the carryover of it, just scrolling down. Okay, so this represents the 2015-16 carryover budget. Again, you know, we cannot see. Let's look at the summary table, if you would, please. And on the summary table, we have indicated that the carryover for 15-16, this is the year prior, was $28 million. Of that, we spent, the consortium spent $26 million. And it gave us a balance or a carryover, if you will, of approximately $2 million. This is important to know because we have a sunset time of December 31st for these funds, which means that these monies need to be spent by the end of this year. Now, these budgets are reflected as of June 30th, which means that by now probably those funds have already been spent. Okay. So, and I noticed that Adrian Ann has a comment.
Adrian Ann Long for the record for LACCC. Ours looks like a large percentage carryover because of linked positions, and that budget is to carry that position through until December of 2017, and then it'll move forward to a different budget. Like the way that you are hiring in a district position, have to stay with the budget they were hired under until that budget expires. So that will be expended by the
Excellent. Thank you for the clarification. Moving on to the next carryover budget. That would be for last year, right? For 16-17. And basically, we're looking here at the amount, at the percentage of the allocation of each college, of each district, including the community college. In general, LEREC carried over 21% of its budget, which is not far off from what the state as a whole carried over, which is approximately 20% of the funds. If we go to the summary portion, in there you will indicate the amount of carryover that each one of the districts is holding for a total of nearly $25 million. The only district that has not had any carryover is Culver City. Not last year, not this year.
So, Mr. Estudias, I want to comment on Burbank. The purpose for this carryover is aligned to the development of an LVN program, and those facilities have gone out for bid, and we expect to have them installed along with the utilities. So all of that funding is aligned to a new CT program that would be coming to the adult school campus in Burbank.
Outstanding. Thank you. Moving right along, we'll go on to the next.
I'm sorry, sir. The funding must be spent by 12/31/18.
That is correct.
Okay.
Okay, so moving right along to the next budget. And even though it does say, this one is the LEREC activities budget report. Basically, from the beginning of the consortium, LEREC understood that there would be a number of activities that the consortium itself had to pay for as opposed to each individual district. And so monies were set aside for these specific purposes. Expenditures that are included in here are the LEREC conference, LEREC-wide PD, and website development and maintenance and other activities such as those. So we have 2 years worth of budget at $166,133, and we have a total expenditures from those two amounts of $116,000. So we can go to the summary section, if you would please. So the total allocation for the 2 years is $332,000. Again, $116,000 expenditures. We have a balance or carryover of $215,601. Okay, moving on to the next budget. In that one, right now, the title indicates LEDRAC Activities Report. That's the one that we just did. The title is incorrect. That should be LEDRAC Donations Report. And so LEDRAC has received a total of $5,250 in donations, and that amount is available for expenditures, for miscellaneous expenditures.
So, can you go ahead and explain to the audience what the donations and how they came about, please?
Absolutely. So, the donations represent payments that vendors made to LEDRAC to participate in the LEDRAC conference last May. The total amount collected, I believe the amount was $200, if I'm not mistaken, for each vendor. And so the total of all those payments equals to, so it was $250, I'm sorry, so it's $5,250. And the last budget that, the second to last budget that we're going to look at is the LEDRAC office staff funding. Basically, from the onset of the consortium, we had not come together to form a LEDRAC office, a set of staff members that would be working to assist in the project of implementing all of the activities for the consortium. That has been approved as of today, and so we are just advising the public that basically, you know, we have five positions that will be implemented. Number one being the project director, yours truly. We have two teacher advisors, and we have one budget analyst and an administrative assistant that we will be, that will be becoming part of the LEDRAC office and will be working for LEDRAC to implement the regional comprehensive plan and support all three activities related to that. The next and last budget that we'll be talking about today. Yes, we have a comment?
Yeah. So just for clarification, all the positions will be housed at LAUSD with you.
Yes.
But they will be providing support and service to all five of the member agencies.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you for the clarification. Moving on to the next budget, so we're looking at the LEDRAC data and accountability funding. These are one-time monies that were distributed by the state. Some of you may remember that a couple of years ago, the state designated a total of $25 million for consortia to create systems to support data and accountability. Since then, we have been waiting guidance from the state in order to implement these budgets. That guidance finally did come to us until, you know, a couple of months ago. They requested for us to draft a plan and submit it to the state. That plan has been drafted, submitted, and will also be posted on the website. This is basically a second phase of the plan, and it indicates basically how funds have been distributed to each one of the districts and the total amount that was distributed. So as of late, the amount distributed about 2 or 3 months ago was $2.5 million. $870,000 had been previously distributed to consortia members of the consortium, to each one of the districts. And we have set aside the amount of $1.26 million for the development of a common LEREC data system. The total amount of the distribution that we received from the state, from those $25 million, and by we I mean LEREC received, was $4.6 million. And if you go to the summary, basically highlighted the same figures, and again, software development is the request for proposal, 1.26.
And this is to be spent by June of 2018?
Originally, we had a sunset, that is, it's actually December of 2018. The original sunset date for this funding was December of 2017. However, in view of the fact that the state took quite some time in providing us guidance on how to spend these funds, then they extended the sunset date to December of 2018.
December 31st, 2018?
That is correct. All right, thank you. We can go back to the presentation. And so we have covered, in brief, in summary, all of these budgets and the next slide as well, I believe, the data and accountability. We talked about the request for proposal, and moving on to the next item on the agenda would be the carryover, would be the 16-17 yearly plan report, which Mr. Matthew Overlander will be providing some comments.
Good afternoon. So I'm here to provide a very quick overview of LEREC's accomplishments for 2016-2017. To make it easy to see what we've been doing, we created this update document. The update document is organized to mirror the annual plan, meaning that it's organized by AEDG objective. So there are five objectives. The first is integration and seamless activity. The second is gaps in services. The third is acceleration. The fourth is shared professional development. And the fifth is leveraging resources. This document reflects all the great work that's been done by all of our LEREC work group members. And we'll hear a little bit more about some of the specific strategies and some of the specific accomplishments later when the LEREC work group members come up and do their presentations. So we really thank them for their accomplishments. And we hope that you can check out this document. It will be posted at LEREC.net very soon. So please take a look at it and see what's been happening with the consortium. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matthew. And now we're proud to introduce the last year's plan to be done with the current regional comprehensive plan. The term for the regional comprehensive plan is 3 years. So every year we do a yearly plan to follow up on what has taken place. Now, we'll just briefly describe the activities that have taken place for last year. Now, Adrienne is going to be presenting or introducing, if you will, the 17-18 yearly plan.
Each year we're required to do an annual plan. So this year's 17-18 annual plan is pulled from the current regional plan, which will end this year. It's broken into three areas, plans and goals. We look at so the budget and then what we hope to accomplish by the end of the year. And we align it to what we accomplished last year that Matthew just shared on, and then we write to this year. The full plan is available on the website, the LEREC website, and it has been sent to the state, and it aligns to work to continue the work in the work groups, as well as looking at the full round of work groups, and also aligning for our next year's writing process, which we're in the midst of designed it is not quite the right way. We're waiting for the template to come out from the state, but looking at how we're going to address the next three-year regional plan. And that's also included. There's no big surprises here. We're just continuing to get work that we started in the past. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Moore. And now we're going to be talking about, if you are not familiar with the fact that LERIC and actually the state of California has adopted TE as its reporting system for the consortia. So everyone who would like to receive consortia funding from the state of California needs to do its reporting through TUPS. TOPSPRO Enterprise or the CASA system, if you will. So Yanina is going to be talking briefly about the report. Oh, okay. So we have a pitch here instead. Elvis?
In the true spirit of collaboration. She's not doing too well, so I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit about this. So this report was due August 1st to the states. This is the combination of all five school districts or agencies. It's divided into three parts. The first part here on the left is aligned with the CASA's skill level gains. The middle part is the outcomes. And the middle part is the outcomes, but it's based, for, based on students with 12 or more hours. On the far right is all of the students, so even those who just registered, not necessarily attended enrollment. So I think we're pretty happy with the numbers. They're pretty accurate this year. And we're working towards the better numbers for next year as the outcomes are better defined. So.
Yes, thank you. And I just wanted to say that K-12 districts are pretty happy with the numbers, and they're very accurate. I believe that the community college has a comment about some of the information reported through TE. Dr. Mullen?
Yes,
so
Adrienne Mullen,
again,
for the record, from LACCC. And I just wanted to share, those numbers don't accurately reflect who we serve as community college districts, because not all of our classes across our nine campuses are participating in the CASA company. That will change. We are staffing up and also expanding our CASA's grant across our district, so it shows that we serve like 14,008. In reality, just to give you a reference, last year we served 92,000 individuals through adult education. So it doesn't accurately reflect who we have served in the district, but this is the way the state counts. Previous year, they did not count this way. We did not know this is the way it should count, or they may have adjusted things prior to this point. But this grant is being built as it leaves the runway, and so this metric of population is new. So we hope that number will be a more accurate reflection. I just want that to be noted that who we serve and who we're allowed to count, there's a big discrepancy.
Thank you for the update. Moving right along, we go on to the next update item, which has to do with the EISP, which stands for Electronic Individualized Student Plan. We have originally contracted with MC Square, a software development firm. That plan did not materialize, and so now we're looking we're working with Community Pro. We are in the final stages of deciding whether we contract with them in order to develop the electronic individualized student plan. We just want to make you aware of it. They are very excited to come work for LERIC and very interested in creating a product that makes sense for the students of the consortium. Now, let me introduce Ms. Diana Matsumoto. She's going to talk about our partnership with LAPM.
In August, members of our LERIC team met with staff from the Los Angeles Public Library's Department of Lifelong Learning and the Office of Education and Literacy to discuss future proposals for our partnership. I believe Mr. Gregory Dobie is in the audience. Larrick would like to craft a proposal which melds certain aspects of the Los Angeles Public Library strategic plan, including increasing accessibility to library cards, participating in the Families for Literacy Project, and coordinating citizenship resources through the library's new Citizenship Initiative Program. Melded with Larrick's vision of expanding and improving students' access to knowledge. National Library Week and Adult Education Week coincide in April of 2018, so perhaps we can also target that time for a special partnership program.
Thank you.
Mr. Asuya, just a quick comment. Just a huge shout out to LA Public Library. Again, thank you for being patient with us as we move forward with this partnership, which I'm really excited about. And is really going to benefit our learners across the consortium. So thanks again for being patient with us.
Thank you, Mr. Sharp. Moving right along, just a quick update on subject matter experts. As a matter of fact, the subject matter expert work groups are going to be presenting today their recommendations for the work that has been done in the second part of last year. Actually, with me, I have a nice little booklet that includes all the deliverables that the subject matter experts have given us. Okay, these are documents that they have created and include findings, include the development of new curriculum, a number of other things. Those were the 32 elements that Mr. Verlander reviewed with us, and most of them are associated with a deliverable. And all of the deliverables are included in this book. We wanted to give you a copy so that you could take it now. But the work of the subject matter expert is important because that's what happens on the ground. That's how the plan, the regional comprehension plan of LERIC, is actually implemented. And so we want to make sure that we pay tribute to the hard work that the subject matter experts have accomplished. And all of this information is going to be posted on the website so that anyone that is interested can go in and look at the good work that has been accomplished. The work that the subject matter experts has completed will also inform the direction that they will be taking next year. So, in other words, throughout the whole year, 16-17, they did a lot of work and they created a lot of projects, and as a consequence, they had many suggestions for the executive team. The executive team has looked at those suggestions, and their suggestions are going to be part of the direction that is going to be given to the subject matter experts next year. The subject matter experts will be meeting on October 6th. To begin the creation of work plans or statements of work for this year. I know that there's a number of subject matter experts in the audience, so thank you for all your work, subject matter experts. The next item is just an update. This is not really on the agenda, but we ask for your indulgence. We are providing a lot of cross-district training, and we wanted to make everyone aware of the extent of the training that we are providing. So we're having a professional learning communities and communities of practice training. That's an in-person training. There will be 3 8-hour sessions that all of the subject matter experts will be attending.
And in addition to that, selected members of the district, of each one of the districts, will also be in attendance. In addition to that, just last week, actually, we had an integrated education training webinar. That was the first of three. It was a total success. I received nothing but, you know, really very good comments about it. Hopefully, on October 24, more people can sign in and be a part of the webinar. A lot of good information is being offered through this meeting. And last but not least, we wanted to mention an additional training that is taking place for the ESL subject matter experts. Basically, they are working on implementing curriculum to add the what was it, Veronica?
ELD framework?
ELD framework, thank you. Sorry, my memory is failing me this month. Anyway, okay. So moving right along, there's a quick announcement that the State Audit Department is auditing LERIC. We are soon to find out the results of that audit. LERIC will have an opportunity to respond to it, and once the response is made public, then it will be posted in the website for the state auditors as well. Dr. Miller, do you have a comment?
How could you tell? I just wanted to just make sure the record was straight. The audit, I don't think the audit is auditing LERIC. I think they're auditing Montebello due to some issues Montebello has, but we are associated with that because of the relationship we have with Montebello.
That is correct.
So LARIC as an organization is not being audited. But they're looking into the individual records that each of us have at our district since, as a result of our participation with LARIC, to make sure that there's no association with Montebello that is inappropriate.
Correct.
Mr.
Garcia, you have a
brother? If I can piggyback off of that, it's not just Montebello Adult School. Montebello Unified in its entirety is being audited. We're having a forensic audit throughout our district, so it's not just Montebello Adult School. It's our entire district. So it's just for a clarification point. So I just want to make sure the audience also knows that as well.
Okay. Thank you. Again, as the results of the audit become available, they will be posted for everyone to see. And now, if we can get started with the presentations from the subject matter experts. But before we do that, we would like to talk a little bit about the pilot programs.
LARIC oversaw 70 pilot programs that address the AEBG strategies of seamless transition, student acceleration, student support, shared professional development, and leveraging resources. Including in these pilots were courses that incorporated aspects of integrated education and training. For example, integrating contextualized math skills into such CTE programs as welding, electrical and photovoltaic, and integrating English language skills into health career pathways. In addition, blended or hybrid courses for ESL, ABE, and ASE, as well as bridge transition pilots and student counseling services were studied. Subject matter expert work groups, pilot, and work group summaries and recommendations were followed. This is just an example of a live document that's available to the public that shows, this is by program areas, ASE and ABE. All of the blue are hyperlinked to live documents. And as I said, they're all divided into separate program areas. So Thank you. I guess the first person will be Marjorie Schneider, the ADE subject matter expert.
Ms. Matsumoto, thank you for the presentation. So just to cut, you may have already said this, but this is all available on the website, correct? So anybody who would like to have more detail around those specific projects, it's there, and you can click on the link and it'll drill down even further, correct?
Yes. So you're reading the question. Good afternoon. My name is Marjorie Schneider. I represent LASD. ADE, as well as the LARIC ADE work group, and I am speaking for us all today. Our pilot programs, I think the previous slide, maybe not. Well, I'll start talking anyway. Oh, there we go. Our pilot programs fell into two categories. Those that involve integrating ADE math with CTE or vocational skills. And the other was using interactive software to enhance student language arts skills. With regard to the first category, what we found is that daily math instruction integrated with vocational skills, and I'm speaking specifically about four pathways: photovoltaics, welding, electrician, and radiologic technician. We found that by providing daily contextualized instruction, the students' pathway-specific math skills were well-developed. Their pathway completion was accelerated. I'll give you a couple examples. At Harbor Occupational Center, 81% of the students completed one CTE course while enrolled in the big math class. At East LA Skills, 71% of the students at the end of the year passed the certification exam, and that is a 12% increase over 2016, so bravo. Okay. And consequently, students' employability is increased. With regard to the second category, we found that daily online interactive instruction and guided practice using interactive software, basic language arts interactive software, in this case pre-HSC Bridges, seemed to help bridge the gap a bit between ADE and HSC preparation. For example, we did see that there was an average increase of 1.2% on both the TAVE-M used at Culver City and the TAVE-E used by LAUSD. So that's nice. Now, each pilot program report has recommendations at the end. We went through them, and we pretty much agreed with everything they said. So their recommendations became our recommendations. The first, even though it's LAUSD specific, we all thought it was important and beneficial for the entire region, and that is to identify essential basic math skills for all CTE pathways. We also felt that making vocation-specific contextualized ADE math, that means vague math, a prerequisite for the four pilot programs that we looked at, the four pathways that we looked at, electrician, photovoltaic, radiologic technician, and welding. It's also being recommended that the TAVE-D in reading and math be used to place students in these pathway programs. With regards to English language arts, our recommendation is that these interactive software programs be blended into a teacher-directed pre-HSC preparation course. And finally, again, even though this is LAUSD specific, the other districts felt that this was something that would be important regionally, and maybe it would help them start building, for example, programs. And that is to encourage more collaboration between the CTE program, apprenticeship program, and industry. We are seeing our students progressing and moving forward on their college and career pathways. Consequently, these pilot programs will be continuing this year.
and we look forward to seeing lots more success. Thank you.
Can you move to the next slide, please? The next presentation is from the ASC work group about secondary education. And who's the presenter?
Yeah.
It brings up, right? It's on the bell?
Yes.
Okay, we had some pilot programs under two categories, one being accelerated learning and the other being revision pathways. One of the pilot programs was the Aztec software from LAUSD, and that was a blended program. From Montebello, we had GradPoint, which was also an online software program, but integrated with offline activities and teacher support, where students would earn credits towards their high school diploma. The LAUSD Aztec one was more for, like, high school. And what we found with the grad point is that the completion rate was pretty comparable with teacher directed and with the laboratory courses. And about 50% of students who had taken the program were more likely to say they would take an online course in college, although they would prefer having a teacher too. The third pilot program under accelerated learning was SHMOOP. And this one was an online enrichment course. It was not done for credit, so completely non-credit. And we found it was not very successful as an independent learning tool and worked best when a teacher actually curated and supported lessons that correlated with class materials. The other pilot program we had was under Bridges and Pathways, and it's Policy to Performance, College Transition Program. So this pilot was basic information given on college systems, types of degrees, certificates, how to apply for college, financial aid processes, how to do the active placer, and we also type online evaluations, utilize them with students so that they can see what possible goals and careers they can see in their future would meet and match what they were interested in. And also field trips were taken to occupational centers and community colleges. And with this pilot's findings were that college was actually an achievable goal. Some of the students just never had that on their radar before. And recommendations will be on the following slide.
Mark, let me add, Homer City has the pilot with APEX, the whole high school online program. It wasn't on there because we sort of missed something, but we'll get it on there and we'll have details as far as numbers. So we've been doing this for over a year, so we should have that.
There's a special sweet euphoria that we experience when we begin any kind of online learning initiative. Generally, the implementation is less sweet and less euphoric. But the good news is that students are very enthusiastic about online learning, but they definitely prefer blended learning. We recommend that that there is, you know, a really strong commitment to scheduling lots of face-to-face time, that you build in supportive offline supports. So you know, keep mostly to really encourage persistence. Blended learning is easy to talk about. It's actually quite difficult. It's really still emerging, so ongoing professional development is just absolutely essential. And it doesn't really work unless we can really make the investment in technology and technological support. Thanks.
Hi, Michelle Cohen with LAUSD. Continuing with our recommendations, the first one, we really recommend to help students make a transition either between schools between districts within the consortium or from the district up into community college. We would love to see counselors who coordinate sort of team at the sending and receiving schools to make the transition really smooth. We need to further develop data tracking systems that monitor what our students are doing once they finish a high school program. We would love to get more tours going to not only to the community colleges and job training programs, but let's look at some four-year schools. Let's go on some tours to some four-year schools so students can get excited about transferring somewhere. And last but not least, we would love to develop some agreements with the community colleges for free concurrent enrollment in four-credit classes that set as our requirements for the adult high school diploma. So a word on that is that I was lucky at my school, even though it wasn't one of the official pilots, last year we had West LA College come onto our campus, teach political finance one, and it was great. The students loved it. They almost all passed with high grades. We're excited to continue on, but the payment is an issue. Because we do not have free concurrent enrollment like regular K-12 high schoolers do. We're trying to deal with payment for in-state tuition. Several of our students do not have 3 years of residency, so they're looking at IEPs on the record. They're currently blocked from any further enrollment in colleges. So we think this should hopefully be a simple thing to do some other places in the state or in the U.S., like Oakland. So that would be a really great way for our students to start college even while it's still okay.
Thank you. Okay, if we can move on to the next slide and the CTE workgroup, please.
Hello, my name is Alma Arbaez, and I am part of the CTE Subject Matter Expert Workgroup. And today I'm going to share with you our summary of deliverables with outcomes. We had the opportunity to present our career pathways at the AEBG conference, where we were able to share the multiple entry and exit points between each pathway and articulation connections with adult schools and community colleges. We created 12 career pathways this year, and last year we created 7, so we have a total of 19 CTE pathways. We also met with LUCCD Dean McMullen, and she will be helping us to assist, she will be assisting to create a CTE summit where we're going to have the opportunity to work with counselors and teachers at the community college to continue building the pathways, you know, reviewing the curriculum, and also reviewing the assessments between colleges and adult schools. Our CTE SME recommendations are that we must develop avenues for articulation between colleges and adult schools. We also need to provide a glossary to define acronyms for the CTE pathways for counselors, teachers, and students to understand the acronyms between the pathways. We also need to review curriculum for selected pathways between colleges and adult schools. And we also would like to align the assessments between adult schools and colleges. We each one has our own assessment, different assessments for CTE, and we would like to be able to align the assessment so that if a student takes an assessment at adult school, it would also transfer to the community college or vice versa. Thank you.
Thank you, Tavares. And the next slide is counseling. Monica Baldwin.
Hi there, Monica Baldwin, coordinator of the counseling service with Los Angeles Unified School District. And it's so wonderful to hear all of the counseling elements being incorporated into ABE and ASC, because that is one of our findings as well. Some of our findings include students need more one-on-one and group counseling services to address the barriers to attendance and program completion. Even someone available to make a phone call to a student to find out what happened, why aren't you coming back, proves to be very, very helpful. Counseling information should be embedded in ASC coursework to increase retention and course completions. And basically, students should always know that there's somewhere else to go, that this is just temporary and there's a path someplace else. Each student should have awareness of next steps and options in their educational career pathway, also related to our ISP or EISP, coming soon to a school near you. Ongoing student surveys are necessary to direct and focus counseling activities. We conducted several counseling work group surveys and focus study groups, and we're told what we need to do, and we're very happy, and that should be an ongoing activity, not just a one-time thing. Counselors need tools to help keep track of counseling services to provide to students, because we know that we're providing these services, but we're not always good at making the notes or quantifying how much service we provide in the counseling area. So our recommendations: review and edit our best practices guide based on feedback from a wider range of counseling staff. We'd like to share it out, have people comment on it, and then bring it back. And it's, again, that is a best practices guide that will continue to grow and be better and better. Continue the one-on-one counseling pilot at Burbank Adult School. Develop and implement a student transition tracking system, which I believe our EISP will be very helpful with. Identify the EISP platform and begin the implementation of its use with an emphasis on ESL and CTE programs, because many times in the counseling world, counselors were very concerned with our academic students. But we really, really need to focus on all of our students. Counselors are counselors for everybody. We don't just check off boxes for academic students, but we need to show our ESL and our CTE class students the next steps that they need to take.
And so, to summarize all the work that the subject matter experts are doing, is to do things like providing increased guidance to our teachers. We have a comment. There's one more. Okay,
yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes,
sir. Go ahead to the next slide, please.
ESL,
how did I forget it? The largest group represented by our students. I'm in trouble now, aren't I? Okay, so.
Cindy? Preparation for
that. Hi, I'm Cindy Diaz from LA Unified School District, and I'm Marian Lawson from Burbank. And we make a part of this meeting for ESL. We had a total of 7 pilots plus 1 project that we were charged with last year, and these crossed over into covering LARIC objectives of integrated training, accelerated learning, blended learning, curriculum alignment, and assessment. And for the sake of time and non-duplication, we've taken the liberty to combine some similar ones together into 4 categories. The first one, integrated education and training, otherwise known as IET, or our vessel-based CTE and career pathways project. Next, digital learning, part of accelerated and blended learning. We tried out programs like Let's Talk, Burlington English, and Rosetta Stone. Promotional test options, part of our curriculum alignment and assessment.
We tried out hybrid classes and EL Civics into promotional testing. All four adult ed districts were involved in the pilot and project in one way or another, and each school or district that took part completed a final pilot evaluation, shown on the sheet that Deanna showed you earlier. It's from these evaluation results as a whole that we formed our recommendation. The first set of recommendations concerns integrated training at vessel and base classes that coordinated with and led to specific DTE pathways. Some common themes appear when looking at the results. In most of these classes, there was low enrollment, so we determined that there was a need to better investigate and match student goals and interests to specific DTE pathways. We need to market and promote new programs within the school and also in the community. A good way to raise awareness would be to incorporate these new types of classes and programs into an intake or pathways orientation, and have teachers or counselors follow up with student goal setting and achievement. You see, this is an overlapping thing with counseling and other programs too. The IESP would be helpful in that. And when planning IET programs in the future, to keep in mind scheduling and other logistics to maximize student enrollment.
Okay, as far as utilizing digital learning to improve and accelerate instruction, we've only scraped the surface so far of available resources. Several criteria emerge, and we find it's more beneficial for students to be able to access these programs at school and at home for extension and application of learning. So students and teachers need to be informed of the resources potential benefit to buy in, have to be excited and committed about using the program. And teachers might require instructional tech support for successful usage. We should continue to try out additional digital products in different ways and keep track of the best ones for ESL. And as far as, you know, using your computer, using your cell phones, because not all students have computers at home, so the libraries are a very good place for them to practice their English as well. Thank you.
After revising ESL course outlines, the next step is to revise or match the promotional assessment to them to go hand-in-hand as a complete package. Since we're required to report ESL learning gains by CASAS and EL Civics test results, it follows that we should attempt to integrate one or both of them into the promotional test process. So these pilots did just that. The conclusions were that the tests as they exist do not satisfy the reliability factor that a good test should have, because they don't yet test what needs to be tested. That is, they don't match the course outline competencies at the levels or the standards either. However, at this time, revisions are being made to better serve that need. So we should continue to consider this as a viable option as either part of the promotional battery itself or one of the requirements for level completion in addition to an end-of-term assessment. In exploring our option of using it as part of the test, we need to ensure the correlation to the course outlines and improved writing and speaking rubrics, and subsequently provide teacher training for implementation.
And the last one, the promotional test options. The next step is to revise or match a promotional assessment to them, so hand in hand as a complete package. Since we are required to report ESL learning gains, we tested all of the course outlines. 32 teachers were testing these at all four different school district levels. 1 through 6 were tested. And at the beginning of each level, we probably need to list the proficiencies so that they're included in teaching learning objectives. All competencies may not be taught, but we need to assess students' prior knowledge so we can target specific competencies to complete the level. Some teachers may provide feedback and suggestions to improve course outlines, and we've always asked teachers to do that, actually. Once a final version is available, we need to provide professional development, LARIC-wise, so that all teachers are familiar with and can teach targeted competencies effectively and efficiently to students. And these course outlines were a work in progress for quite some time. We went back over them, and still are. So we were really trying to improve them to make them comprehensive and very efficient. So in conclusion, our recommendations are based on all of the report, feedback, input, and suggestions compiled from all the pilots and all the teachers that we have received and analyzed. We continue to do work that the pilots have led us to. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you,
Ms.
Work Group.
If I turn around, I'm going to turn around again.
Okay, so the summary that I was trying to do before. So all of the work that is being done currently by the work groups and through the pilots incorporates the strategies that were identified in the regional comprehensive plan in order to accelerate student learning, in order to provide guidance, better guidance to students, to align curriculum, to increase collaborations with other business and industry and other adult education providers, and in general to improve adult education. So the purpose of all these activities and work is to test out different strategies to make sure that they work before we move to do a large-scale implementation. With that, now we move on to the next element, which is public comment. We have only one speaker, which is Mr. Greg Dovey, representing the Los Angeles Public Library. 3 minutes.
Thank you, Greg. Absolutely. Hello. I'm here representing my boss, Kelly Kyle, who's at a conference this week. And I'm also here from the library. We have Roselle Fernandez, Melissa Magrelia, and Priscilla Rojas-Naiman from the Adult Literacy Office. Thanks to Greg. Thanks to Deanna and Matthew and Lansing for meeting with us at the library recently and discussing some possible collaborations with Merrick. Deanna mentioned in particular some of the possible areas of collaboration with, for example, the library standards for literacy program, also the issuing of library cards, and the citizenship initiative. In particular, getting library cards into the hands of Merrick students and getting the Merrick students into the library branches, that's something that will really benefit Merrick students and also extend our programs to the public. That's our audience. We brought along today the library strategic plan for 2015 through 2020, and this is a way for the board members to look to see, as we have been, at where Merrick objectives and the library's objectives intersect. So thank you all for being patient with us, too, and we look forward to continuing the shared work with Merrick. So we'll be around if anybody has any questions about some of the library ideas. And thanks for having us come to the meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Goby.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Astudio, before we continue, I was wondering, I don't know if the other members had any comments about some of what was shared, regarding the work groups. Would it be appropriate to make some comments at this time?
Or? Absolutely.
Okay. Just three quick comments. I mean, first of all, yay.
Yeah.
Amazing work by the work groups, the teachers, the administrators, just incredible progress, I think, this year. Very excited to see. Just three quick comments. First of all, really happy to see kind of this focus on particularly digital literacy and blended learning. I think that's a tremendous area of growth for us as we look to accelerate our learners' progress. I think it has tremendous benefit across our programs. I'd like to see CTE be included as well in on that work. I mean, tremendous opportunities for CTE programs as well. And as we start getting data around how that's benefiting adult learners, I think we need to really make sure and highlight that. So as hopefully new resources come in, and as a consortium, we're deciding kind of where to allocate resources, I think that would certainly be an area for growth. Really serves two purposes, accelerating student skills, but then also utilizing technology in a really meaningful way for students. The next is, I just want to echo Ms. Valbuena's call for equity regarding our counseling and services. We've had, traditionally, a lot of our ESL and other populations have really been left out of the counseling loop in many cases. And so I applaud Burbank, my former district, for implementing a one-to-one model. I think every single student deserves counseling. I want to applaud Burbank for implementing that. I think all of our districts, including LUSD and others, should get to a point where each and every student has that one-on-one counseling experience. So want to definitely highlight that. And again, as we get familiar with the tools of how we're going to be working with students, whether it's an EISP, whatever, nothing beats the face-to-face interaction, which I don't think there's anything holding us back at this point from implementing that sooner rather than later while we're waiting on some of the tools to emerge. Lastly, ESL, you know, again, great work with the work group. I'd like to encourage you to, ESL work group, to definitely look at multiple measures instead of maybe a one-size-fits-all approach with assessment, which may or may not necessarily serve all learners. I'd like us to really focus on more of a mastery-based approach where students are demonstrating skills and competencies as they move through the course and not necessarily waiting until the end of course. And I can't read my writing. I think that was about it. But again, great work, phenomenal work by the work groups.
Thank you, Mr. Stark. Would anyone else like to come?
I just want to say that it's exciting to see all the work that has taken place. I know that our first 2 years of the collaboration or the attempts at collaboration were frustrating because they were slow and we were all getting to know each other and everybody was kind of like, are we really safe? Should we really be doing this? And it's just amazing to see what that true collaboration looks like. And that I think there's value in letting the state know and letting people know that's a process to build trust among different agencies. I mean, to build trust even within your own schools, right? But when you're talking about across five completely different agencies that very often have had kind of a competitive nature, right? And to see now that what it looks like when we're all working together for the benefit of our students, because really, 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 that's the bottom line. And so I can only imagine what students in our region are going to have access to as we continue to move that collaborative effort forward. So, awesome.
Thank you. And Mr. Garcia, Andrew, if I may, I did my walkthroughs earlier this year in the school year with our classrooms, and one of the students did address me and said, I don't want to lose my teacher, though. I'm doing online stuff, but I don't want to lose my teacher. They still love the direct teaching as well. The way I explained it to the student and to the staff and also to the students in the classroom was, we are trying to prepare you for the next step to the community college, to the college level. Me having younger children, my son's bringing home an iPad and homework done on the iPad. I go, they know how to use the phones quicker than we do. So what we're trying to do, we're trying to integrate the technology piece into your curriculum as well to get them comfortable, to get them acclimated. Because of the fact, a lot of times, their actual kids are able to help them with their technology in the actual computer part of it, where they're a little leery. Because some of our students, or a lot of our students, are leery of using the computer. They're not leery of using the phone so much. Sorry, I'm messing with the phone. But that is something that is a discomfort level right now at this point in time for some of our students, because the fact is like, ooh, I'm not used to using the computer. And I saw firsthand in Ms. Brandel's class, they use grad phones. And they are using a blended learning as well. They do pen to paper, and or they go on grad point where they're doing the computer work. And it's teacher directed as well. So they're getting a combination of multiple things. Our board president, our school board president, did walk into her classroom and was quite impressed because of the fact that there was multiple ways that they were learning, the students were learning. So I do applaud you as specialty groups and trying to break that barrier for our students of not to be afraid of technology. I'm not Mr. Techie myself, don't get me wrong, but I think that's a piece that needs to continue to be addressed. And that also is a culture that Emilio and I and the group here was talking about within our own staff. Our own staff has to be comfortable in learning how to use the technology to teach our own students. And that's something we have to continue to work on, because that is becoming, now that is the day and age that we're in. And that's an obstacle as administration that we are seeing too, because our own teachers are like, I don't want to touch that. We used to do it this way, pen and paper. Well, unfortunately, things have changed, and you all know that, and you're all making that adjustment. And that, I just think that's something that has to continue to be emphasized, not with just our students, but our staff as well. And you being the subject matter experts, that's something I think that we could continue to implement. I'm sorry I'm going off on a tangent, but I think it's pretty important.
It's a good tangent. Anyway, it's a good tangent. Actually, I want to piggyback on that and share, if I may, that in Burbank, in ESL levels 1 through 6, each student has been given a flash drive, and they must create a digital portfolio by the end of the fall semester. That would include a PowerPoint, that would include a resume, a cover letter, letters of recommendation, scanning any diploma or certifications that they have. And they would have that on their flash drive. Now, the challenge here, and the reason we're doing this, is when our students go out into the workforce to look for a job, and I'll just pick a site, I don't have anything to do with them, and they go to look for a job, let's say at Target, they're not going to be handed a piece of paper and a pen. And that's what I've said to our teachers. They're going to be pointed to a workstation. It would be criminal if our students could not access these jobs because they do not know how to utilize the technology. Honestly, it's criminal with a capital C. And so our job is to integrate that technology in the classrooms, and I know that all of us are striving to do that. Is it tough? Absolutely. But frankly, it has to be done. And everything that we have coming from the state actually is about that. It's about integrating the technology, the workforce skills, embedding it into the instruction, and especially in the area of ESL. So we're excited about that. We're chipping away at it, but we're providing the professional development. Ms. Noss is back here. She can nod that that's occurring. I'll pay you later. And that is occurring. And we're also doing special workshops, including on Saturday for students, because not everybody gets it the first time. And technology can be scary, so we're bringing in workshops on Saturdays for students to come in on Saturday and be able to work on that digital portfolio. So we're excited about those opportunities. But these are things that have to be done. I thought I saw a handout here.
Yeah, I just wanted to piggyback on what you were saying. I'm from the Los Angeles Public Library. And we choose volunteers now. Our volunteers have to be comfortable with the computer and be able to teach. So when the tutors are needing to help any of your learners, they can help with the applications on the computer that's in the
background. Bless you.
Or tablets or whatever it may be. So, yeah, that's the way to go. Mm-hmm.
Excellent comments. Thank you, Executive Board. We will then now move on to next items. Next slide, please. Oh, I'm sorry. The action items, absolutely. And Mr. Urofsky will propose the three action items.
I would like to make a motion that we approve the 2016-17 budgets that support the consortium activities. The next motion, well, I guess it's one at a time.
Yeah.
Second. All those in.
You have any call for any questions or
any discussion?
So, any discussion on the budget on any of the budgets presented?
Can I have more money? All right.
Beyond the purview of this board. Good discussion. Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion approved. Next item.
I'd like to approve the data and accountability plan and budget as submitted.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
I want to confirm that the expenditure of those funds is by 12/31/2018.
That is correct.
Okay.
There is a letter that was sent by the state to authorize the extension of that period. It was sent approximately 2 months ago.
Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And so approved. We move on to the last action item.
I'd like to approve, or a motion to approve the 2017-18 yearly plan as submitted.
Any discussion of the plan?
Second.
I'm sorry.
Second.
Can we have a sec?
Second.
Thank you. Ms. Montes, any discussion of the plan? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
And so approved. And that brings us to a conclusion of this meeting. Thank you to the audiences for your attendance and for your comments. Are there any comments from the executive board?
Do we have a date, I'm sorry, for our next meeting?
Yeah.
Or is it to be determined?
Yes, we do. The next open meeting is
November 3rd.
Already scheduled for November 3rd, 2017.
Okay.
Dr. Miller?
Yeah, I apologize. I had to step out, so maybe someone said this, but I do want to thank the subject matter experts for all of your work. I do want to talk with my colleagues here about ways in which we can make sure that we take the work that you've done and use it in a significant and a useful way with all of us. Some of the things that I heard were a little surprising, frankly, because we know some things are happening differently, so that means we're not doing the job that we should be with communicating the facts of how our programs are operating. But I do appreciate very much all that hard work. I know that those few slides was a result of hours and hours and hours of hard work. So I assure you we're going to take that information and do something useful with it. So thank you again very much.
Thank you, Dr. Miller. Anyone else? No? And so if I may, since I have the last word, I have the microphone.
Somebody
I would like to also thank the executive board. They actually do a thankless job. I got to tell you, we're actually coming up on our 10th hour of meetings today, and we're going into our 11th hour with another meeting that we're going to have right after this.
Y'all have
a good time. So I appreciate tremendously your dedication and all the work and the support that you give to the staff, but more importantly, to the students of the consortium. Thank you, Executive Board.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Kennedy, for putting up with us.
Yes, absolutely.
And on that note, the meeting is adjourned.
Oh, okay. Sure. Pasta la pasta.
Take care of you. All right.
You going to?
Huh? No, I'll stick around for a little bit, but honestly,
yeah,
I
yeah, 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 oh yeah. Yeah.
Where do you live?
I live like mid-city, Koreatown.
That's not too bad.
Right. No, and it wasn't too bad, but I probably, well, my mom, my daughter lives right here. So I usually use this excuse to be on this side of town because I don't really like crossing them. So my issue is getting past the 10-110. It's ugly, and like I love it, but on a normal without traffic, with traffic, it's 2 hours, an hour and a half. I just can't do it. So. All right, I guess we can go downstairs.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay.